Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
I want to tell you a true story about Shelly and Steve. Shelly and Steve began an online relationship. It started with instant messaging, and then it was emailing, and then it was talking on the phone, and the relationship progressed quite quickly. In fact, the way Shelly would describe it is she said whenever she would type her thoughts and write it down, she could share so much more freely and openly than she could whenever she felt kind of pressured by someone's presence. That there was something amazing about writing it down. It was as if she was writing in a journal, only this journal responded. This journal wrote back. And whenever Steve would write back, he would write back with these lengthy, heartfelt responses that were so well thought out. It just moved her spirit within her. And she said within a short 3-month period of time, she shared more with Steve than she had shared with anybody in her entire life. That within that brief moment of time, they began to share so openly. She began to trust him in so many ways. And the relationship grew. And they began to talk on the phone. And they decided that they really wanted the first time when they met one another and they saw one to be extra special. And so they made the decision that they would go to Las Vegas and they would reserve 2 separate hotel rooms. And then while they were there, they would take in a lot of the experiences and really get to know each other even better. And she was so looking forward to it. The time came. They went to Las Vegas. They met up there. And then they spent most of the time, contrary to their plans, in her hotel room. When it was all said and done and they went back to their homes, she had found her soulmate. She was engaged and she wrote the most heartfelt, longest email she had ever written to Steve, and she sent it his way. She was so in love. She looked forward to their future together, and then there came this one hitch. He never wrote back. Not one word, not one response. And she was devastated. In fact, she just couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe it. There's so much heart pouring out, so much sharing. She had trusted him more than she had trusted anyone in her life. After all of that, she felt so betrayed and so deceived. She just couldn't believe that he would do that to her, that she would share all of this with him, everything with it. She even shared her body with him, only to discover that it was all a lie. There was nothing to it. And what happened to her, with the wounds and the hurt and feelings of betrayal, and is the same thing that's being repeated day after day, time and time again. It's not the same story. It's not the same circumstance. It's not the same situation. But the results are the same. People who don't really know each other, and yet they've done so much in their relationship, they feel wounded as a result. They feel hurt because of what has happened. In fact, one of the primary causes for hurt relationships in our current dating practices is the same thing that happened to them. It's the accelerated rate of relationships. The accelerated rate of relationships. Dr. Van Epp, he wrote a book. It's called How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. How many of you have read this book? Just out of show of hands, you know, 1, 2, 3. Three. And then he just put his arm around his spouse. That was a good move on Mother's Day. Way to go. Okay. So, I started to count it, and then I realized, ooh, that was a good relationship move right there. And so if we can get him on the big screens right over here. No, I'm just teasing. So anyway, yeah, so like 3 of you. I'd recommend the book. It's actually got some great insights into relationships and the dynamics that are happening, because he's a therapist, and he's a professor, and he's a researcher, and he's been looking into a lot of research as it relates to relationships. And what he talks about is that this accelerated rate of relationships that we see happening all around us, it's like super glue. It bonds fast and it bonds hard. And because of that, people feel emotionally attached. And it blinds their vision to some of the other things that are going on. It intoxicates their emotions. It intoxicates their hormones. They feel safe. They feel secure. They've never felt like this before. It's passionate. It's exciting. But over time, their feelings betray them because they didn't really know the person. In other words, they were in an unhealthy relationship. It wasn't balanced. The dynamics of attachment bonding were out of whack. And so the question that I'm asking today is, how do you avoid unnecessary hurt in your relationships? How do you avoid unnecessary hurt in your relationships? Last week, we launched this new series called This Could Be Us, where we're painting a picture of what healthy relationships look like. Whether you're single and waiting, single and dating, newly married, or experienced in marriage, we're going to take a look at relationships and look at this from God's perspective. God has given us this guide, this book that is inspired by Him with incredible insights into relationships, so that everything we talk about, including the tools that I'm going to be referring to, would support what God has to say about relationships, about building relationships, and about maintaining healthy relationships. And so we're going to be looking at all of this. So moms, this is kind of my gift to you, because I have learned through the years that moms tend to really care about relationships. At least typically, that's the case. They care about relationships. So much so that they're bothered when it's not quite right, and they'll bring stuff up and makes us all feel a little uncomfortable at times. Relationships matter to them. They're important to them. They want them to be healthy. But moms also realize that their kids at a certain point don't really want to hear what they have to say about their relationships. And so even on Mother's Day, you know, that doesn't change. And so today you can be like, ooh, hey, watch this. It was really good. Or listen to this. I'm saying everything that the moms want to say but feel like they can't. So that's my Mother's Day gift to you today. I want to introduce to you the RAM. It's the Relationship Attachment Model. It was developed by Dr. Van Epp. It's the five dynamics that are critical in bonding in a relationship. And these five dynamics are know, trust, rely, commit, touch. And each of them have levels or degrees, the degree to which you know someone, the level to which you trust someone, the degree to which you rely someone, the degree to which you would commit to someone, the degree to which you're physically engaged or involved with someone. Obviously, in a marriage relationship where you're fully committed to one another, this top lever would represent the physical intimacy, the sexual intimacy of that relationship. And these dynamics matter. These dynamics are very important. In fact, those of you who are in dating relationships, you're going to use this RAM model for your relationship development. As it develops, you're going to pay attention to how it develops. Those of you who are married, you're going to use this RAM for relationship maintenance. For relationship maintenance. And so those of you who are dating and want to be in a safe and healthy relationship, you never go further in one bonding area than you've been in a previous bonding area. That means you would never come up here and say, I'm going to trust someone that you do not yet know. The order matters. In a dating relationship, you want to make sure you're progressing through these in the proper order, beginning with know, developing all the way to touch. And so this order matters. Those of you who are becoming physically engaged with someone, you would never want to do that before you are committed and they are committed to you in a committed marriage relationship. And so that's kind of what the RAM model is demonstrating for us. When you're in a marriage relationship, you need to know that all of these levels, because there's different levels in each of them, there's going to be times when maybe something happened in which you lost a little bit of trust. There was some hurt. You didn't come through when you said you were going to come through. And here's an area that needs to grow. Sometimes when people have inflicted pain in their lives, like, well, you just don't trust me. Well, it's like, yeah, our trust has been affected. Doesn't mean there's no trust necessarily, but it means we need to build it back up. The most important dynamic in this relationship is the know dynamic. The order matters. It's the most important. It comes first. It's essential. There was a national study that was done on dating and marriage. And what it reported is that young people who were single and dating in their 20s, that for those people who got involved in physical relationships, that these couples who were involved sexually with one another early on in their relationship approached it in one of two ways. Dr. Van Epp talks about the research where it says for some, they approached it with casual sex. It meant there was no commitment beyond the sexual relationship. There was no commitment. The others approached it from a perspective of love and relationships. which meant the relationship was important to them. They wanted to feel mutually exclusive. They wanted to have physical relationships with someone that they knew. So the obvious question they asked the couples, well, how long does it take to get to know somebody? And the responses were a little bit surprising, because in our current dating practice, many of the responses said, well, it takes several weeks to get to know somebody. Some people says it might take like three dates. I mean, at least three dates to get to know someone. I'm just going to ask you guys, you be the experts. Can you get to know somebody in a matter of weeks or three dates? Yes or no? Okay, I agree with you. It is impossible to know somebody in that short time frame. In fact, Dr. Van Epp made it very clear that just because you feel like you know somebody doesn't mean you actually know them. It's impossible. He cited another study. And this study was done over a 20-year period of time. And what they found in that study is that 50% of all relationships, dating relationships, half of them end after 3 months, 90 days. 50% of them end after 3 months. Why? Because it takes at least 3 months to even begin to see the true colors. That all of us put our best foot forward when we're dating. And it takes at least 3 months to even feel comfortable enough around each other or secure enough to begin to reveal some of the true colors. And after about 3 months, when some of the true colors come out, 50% of people said, yeah, that's probably not for me. And so if we have a culture where we're engaged physically way before that 3 month mark, there's going to be some serious breakups. There's going to be damage to emotions and to hearts. And there's going to be some baggage that we then take from one relationship into another relationship. It's important that we allow the pace of the relationship to slow down so we can get to know one another. In fact, some studies revealed that couples who knew each other for 2 years before they got married, they just knew each other. Didn't mean you had to be dating that long, but they knew each other for 2 years before they got married, were far less likely to divorce than those who knew each other less than 2 years. And the question was why? Why is that the case? Because getting to know someone takes time. In fact, some researchers at the University College of London found that feelings of love lead to a suppression of the activity in the brain that leads to critical thought. Now, you know this because we all say this phrase, love is blind. Because when our emotions come into play, when the feelings and passion, excitement of love come into play, people start kind of turning off their brain. And what happens is they start overlooking areas that you need to be paying critical attention to when you're dating. Areas that you should not overlook, but people often do. And the reason they overlook it is because of these feelings, these emotions of love. They start engaging the heart and they stop using the brain. It's essential that you use both. In fact, I'll say this. What is beneficial in marriage can be detrimental in dating. In marriage, it's very important that you are committed to one another. Because we have shortcomings, weaknesses, immaturity, selfishness, where God's growing us. There in marriage, there is hardship and hurt and pain. We've got to be committed to one another to help us through those seasons, through those moments. Because it gets better. It gets way better. In fact, closer intimacy can develop when we're committed to one another. That's critical in marriage, but that's not so important in dating. You're not committed and loyal no matter what in dating. You're using that opportunity to really get to know someone. Your commitment level is not going to be where your knowledge level is in dating. It's important to understand what you're going to get. You can't just follow the heart. You've got to engage the mind. You see, the first and most important bonding dynamic in healthy relationships is to know. It's getting to know. Know is the cornerstone of all the other bonding ingredients. Everything flows from that dynamic. It's even what the Bible teaches. That over time, a person's true colors will be revealed. It will come out. It's actually biblical that it takes time to produce fruit. Let me give you a scripture on this. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. What Jesus reveals in this text is the same process that is used to identify a false prophet, is the same process that's used to identify a false relationship. You base it on the fruit that is produced. Now, they may appear for a while to be good, wearing sheep's clothing. But over time, their true character is going to be revealed. And it's the same thing is true in dating. You know, two trees can look very similar. And sometimes for two trees, they may look very similar, but it's when they produce their fruit that the differences are obvious. Over time, the fruit of our behaviors, our attitudes, our emotional responses, our thought processes, our actions, it's all going to surface. It all comes out over time. It takes time for it to produce. It reminds me of when Jesus told the parable of the weeds and the wheat. You know, the farmer went and he sowed wheat in his field. And at night, an enemy came and he sowed weeds among the wheat. And the type of weed he used was this, was a weed that looks exactly like wheat. It was not until the wheat sprouted that the farmer noticed the difference and realized an enemy came and sowed weeds in with our wheat. And the point of the parable is Jesus says, look, wait for me at the end of time, at the second coming. There I will sort it all out. I will separate the weeds from the wheat. I will bring judgment and condemnation. I will take care of this. You allow me to do that at the end of time. But there's another principle that's also being revealed, that it takes time. It takes time to produce fruit. It takes time for real character to come out, to be able to see what it really is. And that principle is really important. It took time to notice the difference. Because how many people have wandered into a dating relationship and the person they're dating looks like wheat? They look like wheat because they're so sweet. That's why, see? They're sweet wheat. They're sweet wheat. That's what it's like. So what do? They go into hyperspeed. The relationship goes into hyperspeed because this is sweet wheat. But the problem is, once it goes into hyperspeed and time passes, they find out this person's not wheat. This person's a weed. You do not want to be in hyperspeed with a weed. Don't get in hyperspeed with a weed. That's the point. You got to give time for the plant to bear its crop, a tree to bear its fruit, a relationship to go through several seasons of experience so you can see what it produces. That's all a part of getting to know somebody. It takes time. In fact, I want to give you three ingredients today that is required to know someone. And you may be married today, and I'm going to be honest. Last week, I probably leaned a little bit more into marriage, and I also talked to singles. Today, I'm probably leaning more into singles and talking a little bit about marriage. But if you're married, I want you to take everything you hear today and apply it to your situation, to where you are right now. If you're single, I want you to take everything I say and apply it to your situation right now. You may be married and feel like, man, a lot of this doesn't apply to me, but surely it applies to your children or your grandchildren or other people that you're going to be investing in and mentoring. Maybe you're a life group leader. You need to think about how this can be applied to your life. There are three T's to getting to know someone. And the first T is time. This is what we're talking about. It takes time to get to know somebody. To fully know someone requires many experiences over a long period of time. There's no shortcuts to this. Now, ultimately, in marriage, that's when you really come to know someone. In fact, in the Hebrew scriptures, the word that was used of a husband and wife who really came to know one another, it was the word know. In fact, the scriptures say that Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived. Well, we know what that means. He knew her in this way, in physical sexual intimacy between a husband and his wife, in that marital relationship. It was deeply connected. He knew her. So there are degrees of knowing. And obviously in a marriage relationship, that's when we know someone the most is in that relationship, which is critical. But I also want to say to married couples that one of the number one complaints when it comes to married couples is one of the people in marriage that they don't feel understood. It means they don't feel known. They don't feel heard. Which means you can't be like, oh, I came to know them and check it off the list. No is something you have to maintain in a relationship. Things happen. We change. We go through hardships and experiences, and you have to work to really know someone. So if you're married, it's critical. What are some ways you can get to know better? If you're in a marriage relationship and there's a little bit of pain or hurt, one of the ways you can approach this is to really get to know your mate. Take the perspective of really being curious about him or her. Just having the attitude of curiosity will help you know them better. Be curious about how they feel and what they think and how they're doing and what they're experiencing. Show curiosity so that even when you go through a moment when maybe they're upset with you because they feel like you didn't do something you should have done, instead of getting defensive, be like, well, you, maybe we should be curious and say, well, why do you feel that way? What's making you feel that way? And just the curiosity in your attitude will help them feel heard or understood or listened to, which will help them feel known. In our marriage relationships, we have to maintain that. In our dating relationships, we have to develop that. One of the ways that you can get to know somebody is not just by time with them, but also by talking, through talk. This is called self-disclosure. This is what we call communication. In a relationship, communication is what allows you to be drawn together intimately. And conflict resolution is what allows you to be drawn back together once there's been hurt or pain in the relationship. Communication, conflict resolution, that's often what counselors are helping all of us learn how to do better, to communicate better, conflict resolution better, so we stop doing damage and hurt to the relationship because they're so important. You need, if you're in a dating relationship, to know, do we communicate well together, but also can we do conflict resolution together? Can we do that in a healthy way? And the reason that is so important is because whatever problems exist there in your dating relationship, they become magnified in your marriage relationship. In fact, I'll even say this, and I'm not the one that originally said this, so I'm actually quoting somebody. How dating behaviors translate into marriage behaviors is this: the good doesn't always last, and the bad usually gets worse. Aren't I filled with great news today? Pessimistic Wayne. You've never even met this guy before, have you? He's like pessimistic. Where did that guy come from? No, it's true. In a dating relationship, all those euphoria and the emotions you feel that are so good and wonderful, that doesn't always last in that way. And whatever is bad in dating, where you're like, man, I don't really like that, but maybe it'll get better in marriage, usually gets worse. This is why marriage can be hard, and yet marriage can be so awesome. It is the most intimate relationship known to man. It's something that God has built and established. You will never be closer to anyone than you will in marriage. It's incredible. But when we go through marriage, we have to work at things. And this is one of the things we'll have to work through that makes it better. But be aware of that. That's why you got to pay attention when you're dating so you know what you're going to get. It's important. When it comes to dating, there's two extremes in communication. One extreme is to tell too much too soon. When you're dating somebody, man, you get to know someone and you guys just start pouring out your hearts and telling each other everything about everything, and it seems invigorating and exciting. You feel like, man, they're really being open with you, so you be open with them. And in some relationships, that happens. And so the pace and the speed of the relationship is like, it goes off really fast. And you know tons of information about that person, and you're excited. And so you start trusting them and relying and committing to them and all these things. But you know what? What happened is you are pouring your hearts out to each other, but you haven't been through all the situations. You haven't been through experiences. You don't actually really know them. You just feel like you do. The other problem, the second extreme, is where you share too little too late. I've actually been in premarital coaching sessions with couples who are about to get married. And we might even be talking about a subject that's very important. Like there's spiritual intimacy, there's spiritual connection or oneness. And so tell me, your fiance, when did she really come to believe in Jesus or put her faith in Christ? You know, was she baptized into Christ? You know, do you share the same? So we'll be talking about that. And sometimes you'll get a guy who's like, I don't know. We've never even talked about that. You know, you're a Christian, right? You know, they're kind of having that conversation there. That's awkward because you're going, you have shared too little too late. I mean, that's something you should be talking about a long time before now. And I know how it happens. Here's how it happens. It's when a couple gets into a relationship and they don't want to get too serious too fast. They want to take it slow to get to know. And so they just kind of have fun. And they don't try to go too deep. And most people feel pretty good about that. We actually encourage people not to take it too fast. And so we want them to do that, not too soon. And so they just hang out. They keep it light. They don't really discuss anything deep or of significance. But meanwhile, over time, the feelings really start growing and they start trusting each other and relying on each other. And then they commit to one another. They're going to get married. And they still have not had some of the deep level conversations they need to have to know a person. So there is a time when you need to have good, healthy self-disclosure. You need to be open and honest about your past and your present experiences, as well as your future hopes and your future dreams. And if you're not getting that from someone, you better hit pause and find out, why are they not open? Why are they not honest? Why are they not able to share their emotions or their thoughts or their dreams or their heart? Well, what's going on? Because that's cause for concern. So some people, it's too little, too late. And so we need to have good, honest self-disclosure. So we need time together. We need to talk together. But here's the third T for no. It's togetherness. That means diversified experiences together. What this means is there's a difference between learning about someone from talking and learning about somebody from the experiences that you go through together. This is why internet relationships can be really risky if there's not togetherness that happens. Because togetherness is where you actually get to see someone in different environments and situations. There's two types of togetherness or sources of information. One is situational and one is relational. Situational is when you get to observe how someone deals with a variety of situations. What are they like in those situations? And relational is how do they make you feel in the relationship? And oftentimes what happens in relationships is they make you feel great. You are in love and they love you. You've never felt this way before. They never have either. And so relationally, you feel amazing. You feel great. But don't stop listening to situational, because situational actually trumps relational. What I mean by that is you can be in a relationship where you are head over heels for this guy and you love him big time and you feel so loved by him. But when you've observed the way he treats his mom and interacts with her, he treats her with contempt or disrespect. On Mother's Day, he doesn't hardly notice her or show attention to her. You better pay attention to that, because over time, that's going to be you. He's head over heels for you right now, but when you enter into that domain of closeness of his relationship, he may be really healthy and good with other people, but not so much with you. You better pay attention to that. That's what togetherness will do. It allows you to watch people in situations and experiences so you can learn something about them. So take it slow and get to know. This is so critical. I know for those of us who have junior high kids, high school kids, or even younger now kids, there's just so much pressure on them, right? To have a boyfriend, to have a girlfriend, to be talking. His parents are always like, you know, putting on the brakes all the time. It's so frustrating at times. But here's the point that we need to keep telling our kids. You can get to know someone without dating somebody. You can preach it. Yeah, here we go. Happy Mother's Day back there. All of our kids need this so much. They can get to know someone by observing and watching. You don't have to be dating somebody. In fact, watch other people date and be like, glad I avoided that, right? I mean, that's what happens. Let's give it time and watch and observe. We don't need to be a rush in this way. So use those situations to get to know people. Take it slow, get to know. One of the great keys to a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship is knowing and being known. Knowing and being known. And the reason that relationships are suffering is because people don't feel known and they don't feel loved. I want to read right now a quote from Pastor Tim Keller. Here's what he says. He says, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense. It humbles us out of our self-righteousness and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us." To be fully known and to be truly loved. I mean, that's our heart's greatest desire. Do not leave here today without contemplating your own relationships wherever you are and to the degree to which you know someone and how that can be grown or developed in a healthy way. But I also don't want you to leave today for sure right now without contemplating your relationship with God. To what degree do you know him? It's not like once you've come to know him, you check it off the box and now I know God. He far surpasses anything we could ever know about him. And yet, that's the exciting part of the Christian faith. It's constantly coming to know him to greater degree, to know him and to know his love for you. Don't leave today without knowing that he knows you and that he loves you and that he wants nothing more than for you to know him and to love him, that you would love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you would know him. In fact, that's what Bible teaches us, that you are known and you are loved by God. Look at this verse from 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. May you know that love. Rely on that love. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. This is how you know it. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. That's how you know what love is. He laid down his life for you. He stretched out his arms and he was crucified on a cross where he gave his body for you. He poured out his blood for you. He was a perfect sacrifice for you. He was your ransom. He was your substitute. He was the one that became cursed so that you might have life. He took the punishment that you deserved upon himself. This is what he did for you. This is the extent of his love for you. Oh, he wants you to know his love. Or look at Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He's the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. He is keeping his promise to love you, to know you, to pursue you, to chase after you, to reveal himself to you. He wants nothing more than for you to know him and to love him. May you pursue him with everything you have. May you remember him and think upon him. So I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet right now. I'm going to ask that our servers be dismissed for our time of communion. We're going to use this time to reflect on Jesus and his love. We're going to sing and worship him with our voices. A God who's so awesome in wonder. He surpasses what we could possibly know about him, and yet he's allowed us to know him so intimately. We're going to take communion of taking bread, representing his body, and a cup, representing his blood, to remember the sacrifice for us. How he knows us. Let's sing together.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.